Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. Pray the Lord will bless me to get this out in a way that will bless all of us and that would be pleasing to Him. I have some thoughts on my heart and pray the Lord will just bless His Word. I'd like to start by going to Genesis chapter 1. And this is the creation where God created everything and then he did something unique when he created man. It says in verse 26, he said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. What does that mean to us when it says that God created man in His image? Does that mean that maybe we have the same hair he has, or maybe the same color eyes that he has, or is that what it's talking about when it says that he created man in his image or after his likeness? Was it just some sort of a physical representation of God? Maybe it was much deeper than that, in the sense that it was it says he created it. It says our image, including more than one, essentially. But it's only one God, but yet there are three in one, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so man is somewhat of a three in one kind of a being as well. We're body, soul, and spirit, right? And so maybe we can say that God created us in His image in that sense. But I actually think it goes even deeper than that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So here we have the enemy of our souls, or Satan, is trying to blind the minds of people from seeing Christ, who is the image of God. "For which we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now that scripture is like there's a whole lot being said right there in that scripture alone. But what I get from that is that through the face of Jesus Christ, or through our interaction with Him, or through our knowledge of Him and who He was and what He did and the characteristics that He had, it reveals to us who God is and what God is like. And He was a physical representation, if you could say it that way, of one that's showing us God, or helping us to experience or to become aware of the glory of God. He was the image of God for us to see and to interact with and to get a hold of who God is and to understand Him. I think of the scripture where I think it was Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll believe," right? And he says, "Have I been so long time with you that you have not seen me or you have not known me?" And so Jesus was a representation of God and allowing us to see Him and to get to know Him and to have a personal relationship with Him. God, from the beginning, with Adam, He wanted to interact with Adam. He said that He went and talked with Adam and in the cool of the day, I think it said. And so His desire was to have a relationship with man from the beginning. But something interfered with that. Something hindered that relationship. And so God, from then on, has been trying to reveal Himself to man and try to reconnect in that sense of being able to have that type of a relationship once again, that communion. But there was a wedge made that has hindered that. And he went through a long process, if you will. I call it a long process. It maybe wasn't a long one to him. But to bring back restoration for that relationship. And so when I look at Jesus, it says that He is, how did it say it? Who is the image of God. And so what does that mean? Is it again just the bodily form, or is it the fact that the three in one kind of a deal, or does it go much deeper than that? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So here again we have Christ being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So again, we have Jesus Christ being the image of the invisible God. You know, we can't see God. I remember there was a time when I was young and I was in a service. My grandmother used to take us to service, and I was sitting in the back pew and I was learning from my older uncles of how to be in church, and I was trying to be in the back pew sleeping on the back bench. That was what I was learning from them about being in church. But one day I sat up and I thought, you know, what is going on here? And I mean, I really did. I thought that in my own mind, thinking, why is everybody coming here? And what is this all about? I believe I was about 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. And I said, you know, I'm gonna listen. And I'm going to try to hear what is happening. Why did they come here? And they were singing. And I mean, I get goosebumps go down my back right now when I think about it. But they were in there singing, and I made a concerted effort to understand what was happening in that service. And it was like the Lord let me see. He allowed my eyes to be opened in a sense. And I'm not trying to say that I saw God physically, but there was an impression upon me. They were singing, and they were I don't even know what song they were singing, but they were lifting up their voices unto God in worship unto the Lord. And I can, it was like I could see the Spirit of God moving in that building. This is a young child. I had no reason to believe that that's what I was going to see. I believe the Lord allowed me to experience that. And He allowed me to get a little taste of what it meant to worship and to serve the Lord. And that's why they were there. They were there to hear about God's word. They were there to lift up their voices unto Him. They were there to get a hold of the Lord, to get to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, to have that communion with God. And that is what the Lord is wanting to do with us, is give us a vision of Him, give us an ability to experience Him in our lives, to know Him personally. Not so much the physical Him, but who he really is. And He wants to show us that about Him. You know, people have ideas of God, and many of those ideas that they have of God are flawed. They don't really know Him. They're putting an image on Him that's not really His image. You know, maybe they think of Him as being a hard taskmaster that's wanting to beat them down and stomp them into the dust. You know, that has no real care. You know, that says, you know what, if you fail, then you're off. You're done. I don't need you. I don't even want you in my presence. You know, that kind of a vision of God that they have. But God is not like that. It says that Jesus went to the sinner's house to eat supper with them. And the Pharisees thought, this is crazy. Why would you do this? If you're being a man of God, why would you come to their house? And he says, well, they need me. Essentially, is what he told them, is that they need me. And that is the God that we serve. That is what his impression is, or that is what his thoughts are about everybody that you see in life that you think that ought to be maybe cut off and stamped out and put away. God sees them as an opportunity for a relationship with somebody that He created for that. Yeah. And He wants that and desires that. And His heart is to try to restore that relationship. And so the Lord is trying to give us a vision of Him, a true vision of who He really is and who His image or character is. And He gave us an opportunity to see a lot of who He is through Jesus Christ and the life that He lived. And thankfully we have the recording of it and the way Jesus interacted with individuals, the way that He conducted Himself, the things that He taught and what was good for us to partake of in our lives and how we should how we should walk in our lives. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Maybe I should read 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who being, this is still talking about His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so here again we have Jesus Christ being the express image of His person. And so to me that is going even deeper, like I said, than it's not just an image or some sort of a physical representation of God. We're not building an idol. We're not carving some wooden stump into something to say, well, this is God. No, that's not the image that the Lord wants us to have of Him. And it's not even just the fact that He's three parts in one, and that we're three parts in one. It's much deeper than that. It is the express image of His person and who He actually is. That God is love. The fact that that is who He is. That is a definition of Him. And so what does that mean? You can take from that specific definition and come to know a lot about God just in that one specific definition of what love is and what love does and how love interacts and you can really get a hold of who God is from that. And so I want to ask us. It says that man was born or created in the image of God. When it says that to me, Adam was created in this image that we're talking about. I believe that he had the attributes the same as what Christ had. I believe that he was loving and kind and generous and merciful, and I believe that he had all those attributes. But I also believe that he lost a lot when he sinned. And when he, you know, it says that the woman being deceived, it didn't say that about Adam. It didn't say that he was deceived. He chose to do it. And when he did that, he lost something. And I would venture to say that he no longer encompassed the image of God at that point. You wouldn't really be able to say that he was the express image of God after he sinned and fell from that. The Lord had created him in that fashion and made him such. And I believe that, like I said, I believe it went much deeper than a physical representation or much deeper than just a 3-in-1 kind of a deal. But I believe that he created Adam much deeper than that and made him like himself. It says that he made him a living soul. And so he made him into an eternal being, essentially. Breathed the breath of life into him. And I believe that he represented God just the same as Christ represents God. But like I said, he chose to disobey God. He chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, which Jesus never did. It says that Christ, he walked in this life. He experienced the things that we experienced. It was all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And so he maintains that image of God. But I believe that Adam fell short of that in his sin that he committed. And so, were we born in the image of God? Would we say that, I say born because essentially our creation was through birth. I mean, God created us, I guess, as an egg and a seed and all those kind of things. And it's a really deep deal. But were we born in the image of God? And I know that that's a difficult statement because it's so prevalent that everybody's in the image of God. But Adam, when he sinned, was he in the image of God at that point? Or had he lost something? I'd like to go to... Well, let me go to Galatians first. So when we talk about, like I said, when we talk about the image of God and what that means and what that entails in a deeper sense of a character, when we say that God is love and that's who he is, that's what he exhibits in his character, that is how every decision he makes, everything that he does is touched by that part of him and who he is and is affected by it. And so in Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is... And so the reason why I bring this up is because I believe that this gives us somewhat of a vision of the image of God and who He is. This is what He emulates or what's in His character. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so these are part of God's image and who He is. And I can't say that I was born with that. I can't say that I got that through the birth of my mother and father. And that this is what I represented from day one. And I know that there's innocence of children and they don't know everything. You know, they don't have the instruction or they have to be taught not to lie. They have to be taught not to take things that don't belong to them. You know, you could just go along a long list of things that children need to be instructed because their propensity is to do the opposite. From a very young age, I mean, my child, you come into the room and they know they're doing something they ought not to be doing, right? And the tale of it is they're doing like this. You say, well, what's behind your back? What do you got? Right? Immediately they're avoiding it, right? Because they know that they're doing something they ought not to be doing. I say that to say that Adam lost something not just for him. But I believe he lost it for us too. I believe that, you know, I guess you would say that, you know, one of those phrageology things they say in a perfect world, right? If Adam had not sinned and had born children, then I believe that it would be a much different subject today. That those children would very well bear the image of their father who bore the image of God. But because it didn't go that way, and Adam sinned and fell from that, I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogies of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their names Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, he only says this once, and I really believe that it was only necessary for it to be said once. But I believe that this is what has passed down from generation to generation to generation, all the way down to us, and that Seth received the image of his father, being Adam. And that being, if you could say it, somewhat of a flawed image, that falls short of the image of God because of sin. He couldn't be the exact representation of God. He couldn't be the exact likeness of God with that being in his heart or in his life. And so something needed to happen for that to change. So although we were not, and this is me, I'll say that this is me saying this, right? We were not born in the image of God. We were born in the image of our forefathers. But the Lord didn't leave it just like that. He doesn't leave us that way. He wanted a relationship. He wanted us to be like Him. He wanted us to have His likeness. He wanted us to have His character, or He wanted us to be the express image of His person. That's what He wanted from day one. And so He didn't just drop it and leave it be. But it says that although we were, although we were not born in the image of God, I thank the Lord that we can be born again. That we can now be born in the Spirit and take on the image of our Father in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be born again and take on a new image in our hearts and in our lives, where we can be an express image of God in our lives, and what His character is, and who He is, and that the world around us can see what God has done in our lives and the work that He's doing in us, and how He's made us new, and that they would in turn be able to see God or have a relationship with Him and get to know Him through the example of His church. Through born again individuals who are taking on His likeness and His image. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, and I guess we'll start at 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so the Lord wants us to be conformed into the image of His Son. Why? Why would that be necessary? If we've already got the image of God in us and we've already are in His image, why would we need to be conformed? Or why would we need to conform to the image of Christ? The reality is because we're not in the image of God when we're born. But we need to conform. And it was predetermined that we would be that. You know, a lot of people are scared of this word predestination, but really it's just predetermined. It was determined from day one that we'd be in the image of God, or that we'd be in the image of Christ, who is the representation of God, or the express image of His person. That was from the beginning to be predetermined that we should be that. And so if we're not that, then we need to be that. And the Lord has given us the opportunity to be born again so that we can be the express image of His person, and that we can have the fullness of the Godhead in His bodily. The Lord has made a way for us to have that in our lives so that we can be an expression of righteousness and true holiness, so that we can represent the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, mercy, so that we can exhibit all those characteristics in our lives, and not just when everything's going well and people love us, but when people are our enemies and being hateful to us and despitefully using us and persecuting us, and we're still able to exhibit that love of God or that mercy and that forgiveness. The fact that Stephen was being stoned and was able to say, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The same thing that Jesus Christ was able to do when He was on the cross. And that is who God is, and that is the express image of what He wants to have in us, and that is available to us through being born again. So being born again allows us to see Christ and what he did and what he came to do, and how that we can be delivered from our sin and from our nature, if you will, and be restored to a right relationship with God. And that was what God intended from the beginning that would happen, that we would be able to have that communion with him and that relationship with him of us being one in mind and spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And so this is what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be able to change into his image from glory to glory. Is that some sort of progressive thing? No, it's mostly in the sense that the more that we know about God, the more that we have revealed to us, the more that our eyes are opened into who he is and what he is and how he would deal with certain circumstances or certain situations, the closer we get to him and the more that we can be like him. So when we become aware of those things and become aware of God's characteristics, and then it gives us an opportunity to walk in that. And so from glory to glory, we're growing in our knowledge of God every day, I hope, where we're seeking his face, we're allowing his word to penetrate our hearts, and we're getting to know him, and as he reveals himself to us and shows us his character and what is pleasing to him and what is good and righteous and holy, then we take on those things and we become like-minded with him and say, yes, Lord, I see it. I know that that's good. I know that that's the right way to be. I know that is how I want to be and that's how I want to live. And we become more and more in his image from glory to glory. It's not that we become born again and all of a sudden we are the express image of his person, but he teaches us who he is and helps us to grow into that image from glory to glory. And that is what he has for us. Just because we weren't necessarily born in the image of God and didn't represent him in a perfect capacity from day one, we have an opportunity to be born again, to be new creations in Christ Jesus, not according to the old man anymore or the flesh, but that we can be new in Christ and be able to take on us again that image of Jesus Christ or that image of God and be all of what God would have us to be in this present world. I want to read that scripture. I think it's Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Or 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Some would have us to believe that it comes on us miraculously at our death and resurrection, but the Lord is telling us that this is something that needs to happen and can happen right now in this present world, that we can walk righteously and godly in this present world. And so I pray that the Lord would help us to be a righteous representation of him to the world around us. The scripture says that we should shine as lights in the world. That light that we're shining, it says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so the light that we're shining unto the world is Jesus Christ and who he is and what he came to do. And that is what we want to express to the world and be an instrument of God to show the world who he is. Not just in word, but in who we are in our person. We are representations of God or ambassadors for Christ. And so we can have it. We can have that representation in us. We can be that image of God in this world. And I don't think we have to fight for it and say, no, but we're in the image of God. The Lord wants us to be in His image. But I'll tell you right now, when I walk down the streets, I don't see the image of God everywhere I go. But we can have it. The Lord gives it to us. He gives us an opportunity to be in His image. Although Adam maybe lost it for us, Christ has gained it for us. And we can have it through Jesus Christ if we will conform to His image or allow His Spirit to move in our lives and direct us in our steps and teach us how to be like Him and give us power and ability to serve the Lord. We can have it through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of our sins, that we can go on into perfection and be as He is. One more scripture that just came to mind. I think it's Second Peter. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Again, through the knowledge of God, through Jesus Christ, that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And that is what God wants us to be a partaker of. He doesn't want us to stay in the nature that we inherited from Adam, but He wants us to move on and go forward and be partakers of His divine nature. And once again, be in the image of God. Pray for me. I want to live this.